have a few outlines out there on spiritual gifts. We're on the second part of this message. We started it last week, and tonight we're going to look at number two, which is on page two. And we're going to talk about special gifts. Number two, special gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading tonight in verse 7, and we're going to read down, just down to verse 12, 7 to 12, and we'll try to get the understanding of this passage. It's an interesting passage, but we're going to talk about these special gifts, and they're found in men that God gives to the church. Let's read our text, Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we just want to thank you that we can look into this passage. We ask, Lord, for wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Open up our eyes, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, especially as we get into talking about the apostles and the prophets tonight. Help us to understand that they are foundational gifts given to the church. So, Father, we just want to lift up your holy name tonight. We want to exalt you in this service in our hearts and minds. Lord, help us set aside any attention, distractions or things of this world and put our full attention upon you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There should be a few outlines out there. There's several left over from last week that talk about spiritual gifts, part one. Letter A. We're going to get right into this because this passage, does anyone need an outline? You may have not found yours from last week. Two up here. I don't think you were here, were you, brother? Keep one yourself. The rest of these already had them. They just didn't bring them, so. This is from last week. All right. We'll give you one excuse this week, man. Anyone else? You got yours, Rick? You don't, I guess you don't really need it.
No, I didn't bring my purse.
Yeah, yep. So let's, well, just pay attention. Back when they didn't even have Bibles, all they did is listen, brother. So if you listen well, you'll get the message.
Huh?
Only if you're sleeping. Only if you're sleeping. Ephesians 4, 7. Letter A, we're going to get right into this because it's kind of the introduction to this whole passage. You'll understand in a moment. So in verse 7, we're talking about letter A, or number 2 is special gifts. Special gifts. Letter A is they are gifted men. These are gifted men. So in verse 7, we're talking about God, Christ gives to each person, each believer, gifts. So we do know that these men that we're about to understand were gifted by God. We already dealt with that in the first point about spiritual gifts. Just the first point dealt with how that God is the one who gives the gifts, their supernatural abilities, and we are to be good stewards for the Lord. So these gifts, we're going to talk about men here in this passage. They received the gift. They received what it means by gift is a divine enablement, a divine endowment, the divine capacity to minister to the body of Christ in a unique way. So here in this first part, it talks about gift. Doria means the freeness of the gift. Aren't you thankful that these gifts are free? It's like salvation, amen? It's free. It cost God everything, but it didn't cost us anything, amen? So it's not so much in this first verse talking about the quality or the character of the gifts as it is gratuitous. Its nature being gratuitous, it's free. But it is a supernatural, spiritual, and free gift. So these men are gifted. They were gifted by God. And then, letter B, they received a special gift. Verse 8. They received a special gift. Now, I want you to understand, this is a different Greek word. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captive, and gave gifts unto men. So we're talking about a gift in verse 7, a gift in verse 8, and this now is the word doma, not doria. So this has to do with the character of a gift, and it's really talking about the special nature of this gift. The special quality of the gift. So it is a special gift. This isn't just, it's a unique gift. It's very special. Now, what are these gifts? These unique, special gifts. And this is where you have to understand a little bit about the grammar, what's taking place, which we know verses 9 and 10, they have a parenthesis around it. So it's a parenthetical statement, meaning you can have it in there, and it's kind of explaining this laying captivity captive and ascending, or it could be out of there and jump to verse number, from verse 8 all the way down to verse number 11, and it makes complete sense. And that's what we're going to do. We're not dealing so much with the parenthetical statement in verses 9 and 10. And this is what I want you to see. I'm telling you, this is exactly what the Greek, what the English, what the Bible is saying here. So this is a parenthetical statement, and we're going to skip over it just for the sake of understanding this special gift. So, in letter C, these men are gifts to the church. These men, verse 11. So, let's just read it again, verse 8 and then 11 right after it. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why it's so unique. This is why it's so special, because the men themselves are the gifts. They were gifted. They were divinely enabled, and then they were given to the church. And who are these gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher. Apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. And we're going to understand a little more of what verse... I want you to see verse number 11. If you see the word some, that's an important word. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor and teachers. So in this verse, pastor and teacher is one person. You would say either pastor teacher or a teaching pastor. And that is because of the word some. Some. Not that there are not teachers in the church, but in this case, it's one person. Pastor, teacher. So these men are the gifts to the church. So we can see in these verses, there's a distinction between spiritual gifts and gifted men. He gave these men special gifts to be able to minister to the church, and then he gives these men as gifts to the church. As gifts to the church. That's what exactly this is talking about. Now, letter D, there are four offices of gifted men. Four offices. And we're going to deal with these offices over the next 2 weeks because there's a lot of confusion, especially when it comes to apostles and prophets. So that's kind of where we're going to head tonight. And then we'll get that out of the way, and we'll talk about evangelist and pastor teacher, Lord willing, next week. Now, does the church always have to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers? That's a question. Was there a time when the church didn't have all four offices? Does the church have all four now? That's what we want to answer. And we should have some basic knowledge of this, but it's good to go back over it. So letter E, these are foundational offices, apostles and prophets. The foundational offices are apostles and prophets. Now, we do know that in time, when Jesus came and when Jesus started His church, we could say that the apostles were the first gifted men that Jesus gave to the church. And we know something about this from the New Testament. And we're going to kind of look over this very clearly. So we do know what the word apostle comes from. Now, again, it's apostolos, apostle. And this can be translated apostle as in the office. But it also is messenger or a sent one. So the context determines whether it's speaking of the office or just the idea of being sent. And that's what's important about the Word of God. Amen. So we do have to distinguish between the 12 apostles as an office and other messengers. There were other messengers that were sent around, but they didn't have all the gifts of the apostolic office. And we'll see, basically, later on, you'll see this develop throughout this study. So we have, first of all, the 12. The 12 are called apostles. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We'll just kind of get a feel for what the Bible says about this first office, apostles. Jesus gave apostles to the church. And they were gifted men. Amen. You remember everything that the apostles did. It's an amazing record. Even in the book of Acts, right? The Acts of the Apostles. So we start out here. Let's just read verse 1 for sake of context. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, his brother, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So these are, Jesus called these men, it says, verse 2, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these." So this is referring to the office, 12 apostles. This is an office that Jesus gave to the church. Now, remember when Judas betrayed, it even says it here, Judas betrayed, he went out and hanged himself. And then we go to Acts chapter 1. We do know that the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. So go to Acts chapter 1, verse 25. Or go to 23. It says, "They had appointed two." Well, let's just read verse 20 down because of kind of picking up with Judas. It says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." That's the office, amen. "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us," now these are the men, these are the qualifications. "Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, and under the same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we have here the requirements to be an apostle, the qualifications, and then we have this choice of Matthias, and he was numbered with them, and you could go through, and he was accepted. They were called the 12 again with Matthias. So later, we do know that Paul became an apostle. And this is in the official sense. He held the office of an apostle. So when you think of 12 and then you add Paul, we could say there are 13 official apostles. Paul, as in all, go to Romans 1:1, you get an example of how he introduces himself. And we understand about Paul. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." So Paul says the same thing to the Galatians, and you'll read a lot. He'll introduce himself as an apostle, because he was. Now, these apostles had to be eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we saw. You say, what about Paul? And then remember in Acts 9, Jesus appeared unto him. So he was a witness of the resurrected Christ. Jesus isn't going to appear unto you, but Jesus appeared unto Paul and talked to him. And so he is a witness of the resurrection of Christ. He saw the resurrected Christ. And so this is all through the book of Acts. When he gives his testimony, we could learn about that. Now, go to Ephesians 2, and we will find that the office of an apostle had no successors. There was no succession of an apostle. This was it. These were the men who held this office. And that's what Ephesians is telling us, that it's a foundational gift in Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So we have the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, the foundation was laid. The foundation was laid by Christ and the apostles and the prophets of the first century. That's what we're talking about here. Once you lay the foundation, the building goes up. And so the office of the apostles and prophets have ceased. And we're going to see that their ministry, not that these men carry on with the same gifts, the sign gifts, remember, the signs of the apostles, but you will see a correlation that once the apostles died, and even in that time they were ordaining. They were ordaining other men to the ministry while they were alive. And so, after they died, then the only offices that stayed in the church were the evangelist and pastor teacher. That was it. And you're going to see that the evangelist is what took the place of the apostle. And what we talk about, what we mean by evangelist, is missionary. But biblically, they're evangelists. That's the biblical term. Missionary is not found in the Bible. It's a Latin term, but it means sent one, so we accept it. It's not right or wrong, it's just something we accept. But evangelist is the biblical term. Now, doesn't mean that these men, these evangelists, have the same authority and same gifts, but they have the same calling. Except that they don't receive revelation from God. They are the ones going around, starting churches, training disciples, just like the apostles did. And then the prophets, we're going to see, had a local ministry. A local ministry. And so the prophets, we're talking about a prophet now. The Bible wasn't written and all the New Testament wasn't given. So these men declared the Word of God before it was even written. So the apostles had an itinerant ministry and the prophets had local ministry. Then after the prophets, we know that they ordained elders in every church or pastors. So the pastor-teacher became, in the place of the prophet, that ceased, we'll see, in the Bible. And then the pastor-teacher stays in a local area. So you're going to see that, yes, God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor-teacher, but they all fit together, amen. God has a plan. Now, we know that the apostles laid down solid doctrine. That's why it talks about the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what this New Testament's about. It's the solid foundation of doctrine laid down by the apostles. And you know where they got it? From Jesus Christ. And the prophets as well. They were there in the local ministry declaring the Word of God. We'll get to that in a moment. And then their ministry ceased. And so they needed pastors. And then, of course, we do have the office of a deacon, and that also is a viable office today. And that really needs to be considered in the church. So we had the apostles. Do you understand how they were specially gifted men, but they were also themselves gifts unto the church? And so they had special abilities, and we kind of summed that up. We talked about the sign gifts, but go to 2 Corinthians 12:12 to understand that the apostles themselves had special gifts. They were not like the gifts you and I have today or anyone has in the church, but unfortunately, some will claim that they continue to have these gifts, which is sad and false. It's a lie. It's a fabrication. So in 2 Corinthians 12:12, it says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And Paul is talking about himself, how that he was an apostle, and they shouldn't be questioning his apostleship and his authority as they were. That's what he was being attacked. So they performed these special gifts. And remember, God was bearing them witness. He bore them witness with signs, wonders, and miracles. Go to Hebrews 2. And this is interesting. We never did. I don't think we got over here specifically, but it's a good one to look at. Because it also puts it in a historical perspective. I want you to see this. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" So let's talk about the Lord was here on the earth. Amen. He preached the gospel. "And was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him." That's the apostles. They heard Jesus. Remember? They're eyewitnesses of Jesus. "God also bearing them witness." Who? The ones that heard Him, the apostles. "Both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." So there you go. There are the apostles and what they were doing. And they were with Christ. They heard Him. And God bore them witness. And you know what? This is talking in the past tense already. Like, this is another error. An error of time. And that this age was passing. And they're saying, "How should we escape if we neglect this great salvation that was first?" Back then, remember, when it was spoken of by the Lord, and then that heard Him, the apostles, and God bore them witness. And that's how we should speak of it today, because that's the way it was, and that's the way it is. It's a historical event. It's a historical fact, but it's not continuing today. And that's why we have false churches and false doctrine. Because they think it's continuing as it did with the Lord and with the apostles. It's sad, but it's true. They had unique abilities and miraculous powers that no one today has. Then the second foundational office, number two, is of the prophet. Who are the prophet? Again, Greek word, prophetes, meaning one who speaks out. It's connected with the idea of speaking forth. And He was the mouthpiece of God. Amen. You think of the Old Testament prophets. It's not much different of the New Testament prophets in the sense of office, the office that they held. So compared to the apostles, as I mentioned before, the prophets remained in a local area. The only time Paul was ever called a prophet was when he was one of the five pastors at the church of Antioch. Go there. Acts 13. 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, which is called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There were certain prophets and teachers. So because of that local ministry, they were called prophets. They were in this area preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. Now we do know that the prophet's message was revelation from God. The Old Testament prophets, as we are studying the minor prophets in Sunday school, they spoke revelation from God. In the pages of the New Testament, Paul, Peter, John the Baptist, Agabus, to name a few, spoke revelation from God. Go to Acts 11. You're here close. Remember Agabus. And it says that verse 27 and 28 of chapter 11, it says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." So this is speaking of that office during the time of the apostles, during the foundational time, when the Word of God was not yet written and canonized and put into what we have today is the New Testament. That took some time. Now, a prophet didn't always predict the future. They didn't have to always predict the future. And every time they opened their mouth, they didn't always give revelation. They spoke for God, sometimes by direct revelation, that's true. Sometimes based on what they had learned from the apostles. So they were declaring the Word of God, whether by revelation or by teaching what the apostles already laid down. But they had that special gift to do that. So this was an office. This is not the gift. You know, remember Romans 12, gift of prophecy. This is different. This is the office. And this office also passed away. But the gift of proclamation is still here. And that's why there's a little bit of overlap when we say in Romans 12 about the gift of prophecy. We say it's the gift of preaching like we know it today because it's the gift of proclaiming the written Word of God. It's not, I'm speaking for God, but it's already written. It's already penned. I don't have to get direct revelation from God. I don't have to predict the future. I just have to declare the Word of God. And that's why we talk about this gift of proclamation today. It's still here. So their primary function was to give revelation to a local group of believers. That's why the pastors there at Antioch were called prophets. That is why Agabus had the very unique ministry of prophecy concerning what was going to happen to the church in Jerusalem. Look at Acts 15:32. It says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." So they themselves had that, they were prophets. They were in that office, yet they were doing what? They were exhorting. They had that ministry of exhortation. They confirmed them, meaning they were It's possible they confirmed the word with miracles. We don't know. But God did great things by some of these men. And then in chapter 14 of Corinthians, we could see how that the prophet's ministry was geared toward a local congregation more clearly when we get to the book of 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 29. What were they doing in the congregation? Well, it tells us here. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. So, the idea is, everything had to be done in order, amen? And that's, so, on Sunday we'll do this. We'll have three messages. We'll bring three preachers. So we could be like Corinth. How would that be? Anyway, two or three could preach. Amen. But you see how they were there in the church. They were the ones speaking to that local congregation. And that's why we're saying, unlike the apostles who had an itinerant ministry, these prophets stayed and they were speaking there in the church. There's no indication of apostles here in Corinth other than when Paul had to meet with them. But they were prophets. Revelation given to the apostles was doctrinal. Revelation given to the prophet was more practical because the church was in an infant stage. They didn't have the complete revelation of God's Word yet. So they needed to extract practical principles. That's what these men, they were given there to teach the Word of God and help them understand the Word of God before the Word of God was written. And so, all these different local congregations were spiritual babies. And so the prophets had a vital ministry of communicating truth to them in order to preserve the church in its infancy until such a time as the Word of God was finished and they had their standards. They could go to the Word of God. So once the New Testament was completed, the apostles and prophets ceased to have any purpose. Their offices ceased with the completion of the Word of God. So they were a temporary group. They were around. Remember the Old Testament example? They were around until the close of the Old Testament. And then there was a 400-year period of silence. And then the prophets appeared again in the New Testament church. But during that 400 years, there were no prophets. So God has a specific time, a specific ministry, and He did that in the New Testament church. At its infant stage, He gave the church apostles and prophets. And when the New Testament was completed, the prophets disappeared again. There aren't any prophets today because the Word of God gives us all we need. And so we do not have the office of apostle or prophet. And we'll see a little more of this as we develop a little more of the history when I make that bridge between apostle and evangelist and prophet and pastor teacher. That'll be in next week's lessons. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for these special gifts we did consider tonight, apostles and prophets, and we thank You, Lord, Father, what you did in the church and what the Lord Jesus Christ did and what these gifted men did for us. We thank You for the New Testament. We thank You for the church and thank You for the apostles' doctrine. And Father, help us to dig deeper, to learn more of this New Testament. Father, we know It's the absolute truth that's to guide our thoughts, guide our actions, guide our decisions today. So, Father, help us to be faithful, to read the Word of God, and to understand how special it is because of these special offices that you gave. So, Father, bless us tonight as we go into our prayer meeting. Lead us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.